Wakanda has been protected for thousands of years. You have never been able to find this unfindable place. Oh, wait, he just crashed his Cessna into Wakanda.
Welcome to Because Nerd. It's the 24th day of November 2018 as we record this. This is our sixth episode. I'm your host, Chris Farrell, and I'm joined once again by one of my best and oldest friends, Clint.
Hi!
And one of my best and newest friends, Mike.
Aloha!
Man, I had a crazy experience recently. I had to fight a pit bull.
Oh man, I saw that.
Yeah, well, tell us about that.
So I've got my three dogs. And we were all out for our morning walk. And then two unattended pit bulls just roaming around the neighborhood showed up. At first, they didn't notice us. And I thought it was going to be fine. But then we caught their attention. What happened was one came directly towards us. And that's the one I was looking at. And he just looked kind of curious. But the other one had come around our side and flanked us.
Classic pincer move.
Yep. And he just barreled mouth open straight into my corgi.
Wow.
The entire scar on my corgi's back is probably, I'm going to estimate it, somewhere between 8 to 10 inches.
Jeez.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I measure that all the time.
That's what she said.
Hey.
I'm just going to go slap my junk against it, and if it's twice as big as it, I'll know it's 8 inches.
You know, it's funny. Everybody knows the pit bulls are very mild-mannered.
Let me just jump in and say, too, while you bring that point up, yes, I 100% agree. I'm not an anti-pit bull person at all. The only reason it's relevant to the story is because it's different to say a chihuahua came out and bit my dog. But yeah, I don't blame pit bulls in general. This dog was just an asshole.
Right. And you know what's funny too? Everybody always said like pit bulls are fucking crazy, man. And they've got a specific jaw that when it locks down, you can't even open it with like a crowbar, man. There's like a mechanism in its jaw that locks. Yeah. And that's why they're so crazy. And I'm just like, at first when I was a kid, I was like, yeah, I get it.
That evil hell beast that you just described sounds horrible. And why would anyone want that?
It's terrible, right? Exactly. And then as I got older, I was like, ah, it's full of shit. But please continue your story.
So here I am with a half a second that felt like for an eternity, looking down at this dog chomped down kind of on my corgi's neck and shoulder. All kinds of shit flashed through my head, but I was like, I've got to get these jaws off of this dog right now. So like I came down and I just immediately tried to grab his mouth and remove it.
You tried to remove his mouth? Holy shit, man.
That was the move you pulled?
Yeah.
Remember in King Kong where like he grabs the Tyrannosaurus Rex's head and like rips his mouth open? Right? That's awesome.
In my head, I saw it happening, and I started trying to move his bottom jaw, and it didn't flinch at all. And I was like, okay, new plan. So I was like, I know how to choke a human. I mean, I don't know that a dog's arteries are in the same place, but he's a mammal. They got to be pretty damn close. So I thought, I'm just going to put a chokehold on this guy until it falls asleep and it has to relax its jaw. But bonus move, I'm stopping him from shaking his head. I could tell when he started trying to go to sleep, and then he just got calm. And then I was able to like push my dog out of his mouth, and then he just kind of sat there on the ground for a bit.
No, it's funny is when you were just explaining the like how you got up there, and you were like, "I could choke him out," blah blah blah. And remember in Mortal Kombat where like you have to like beat up a car or like do certain things? It's all test your might.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then you have to like do it. I just imagine like you got on the back of the dog, and it was all test your might. And you're like, and then all of a sudden a video game pops up, and you're like choking and holding on to this dog, like shaking around.
There's like a fourth wall version of me looking down at me, like tapping a button really fast, making my arm like flex harder and harder.
Right.
It starts to loosen. It's like, tap fast.
Tap faster. Oh, shit. Your dog is dying. No, fuck. Hold on.
In the very end, other than stopping the dog from getting on my dog in the first place and biting him, everything else went as well as it possibly could. So anyway, I got control of the dog, and luckily I handled it well.
Yeah, I saw the pictures you posted. Like, did you get pretty beat up or, like, scraped up?
So I had to drop to the sidewalk and didn't have a lot of time to think about how I was going to treat my own knees and elbows. So I took some scratches from the concrete, but the dog didn't hurt me at all.
Yeah.
Wow, that's insane.
Well, let's also keep in mind that this came at the morning of Scriptic Media's very first vendor event at a con, your mind was already on going to this con and trying to sell t-shirts and talk about Because Nerd, and then you get jumped by two gangster pit bulls.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on.
So how was the first vendor booth?
We got there a little later than expected, but everything else went fine. I mean, people seemed to really like the shirts. The other vendors there, they didn't expect us to say that this was our first time. They were like, oh, we wouldn't have thought that. So we seemed put together enough that it wasn't obvious that we were amateur up there.
Well, the booth looked good.
The booth looked awesome. A ton of merch. It looked fantastic.
So it was a good test run.
Cool, man.
Yeah. So, Mike, before we were rolling, you were asking about what's up with the Vorpal Botch. So there's the Jabberwocky poem by Lewis Carroll where he references the Vorpal Blade, and he never gave an explanation of what it was or meant or anything like that. But he uses it to lop off the Jabberwocky's head. Well, anyway, that got caught on into D&D, and they made a magical sword that on critical successes, it does an automatic decapitation.
Awesome.
So now the Vorpal Botch is what must happen if you have a critical failure when you're holding a Vorpal sword.
Yeah, and for people that don't play Dungeons & Dragons, a critical failure is when you roll a 1. It's also called a botch. So in D&D, if I'm trying to do something, you roll a d20, a 20-sided die. If you roll a 1, it's up to the Dungeon Master what happens, and normally it's something really bad. Like, you know, you bust your dick on a rock.
Wow.
I'm going to punch him in the nuts. Oh, shit, I rolled a 1. Well, you just kind of gently caress his nuts then.
You just kind of gently grab his dick.
Fuck.
So the Vorpal Botch thing is cool because if you roll a 1 and you trip, your sword cuts your head off and it's a Vorpal Botch.
Wow.
It's self-decapitation.
So this just reminds me of when you get your first set of nunchucks. Every person that's ever did it smacks himself in the head, right?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
So the Vorpal reminded me of that nunchuck whack in the head, except it actually decapitates you.
Well, here's the fun part. One of the things that we've come up with, the asshole Vorpal Wizard, who his only thing in life is to play jokes on other people by casting Vorpal on mundane shit. So like, you know, you go to take a bite of some soup and you're like, oh, I need to get a spoon for this soup. And the asshole Vorpal Wizard shows up and he's like, aha, and he casts it on your spoon.
Let me cast that Vorpal on the spoon.
That spoon doesn't look very sharp. Haha, and he casts it. And then you go to take a bite of your fucking soup and it cuts your head off. Like, so just asshole Vorpal Wizard shows up and casting the Vorpal on things. And that was a big running joke that I've always loved is asshole Vorpal Wizard.
So like, I imagine he casts it on a coffee cup. And I know it seems silly because you're like, in what time do I ever roll for success to drink coffee? But clearly, if you've ever drank enough drinks in general, you probably spilled one on yourself at some point. You know you can botch a drink roll.
Right.
And if the Vorpal Wizard happens to get in there,
right,
and you've got the Vorpal spell cast on your coffee cup, you spill a little bit on you, and it cuts your head off.
Yeah, I can see it playing out like that, where you're like, okay, so you're at the bar, and you call over to the waiter, and you offer a hot glass of coffee or mead or whatever the fuck.
Hot mead?
And as the mead approaches, you find something's not quite right with this glass of mead. It's unbearably hot. So I want you to go ahead and roll to drink that mead, because it is so hot, I don't want you to burn yourself. And this is going to be a little bit of a task, because it's a odd-shaped cup, and then, you rolled the 1. You're fucking dead! They cast Vorpal on it, and you're dead now.
It was a Vorpal cup, you stupid dumbass.
It was a Vorpal cup, you fuck. Yeah.
Decapitation by coffee.
Decapitation by coffee. That's the beautiful thing about Vorpal is, like I said, you can cast it on anything. You're like, that grilled cheese sandwich looks fantastic. Why don't you take a bite of that? And then, boop, Vorpal sandwich, you're dead.
Vorpal Wizard comes over to your house just for a little gathering. He asked if he can go use the bathroom while he's in there. He just, like, casts Vorpal on your razor blade and your toothbrush and, like, your hair comb and just shit like that.
Just everything, hoping that you fucking...
What are you doing in there? Oh, no, not be interested at the minute.
Our dinner last night isn't sitting well with me. I'll be done in a moment. As he's in there, you hear him behind the door. He's all, da, 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 da. Oh, this toilet paper looks like it needs a little something. Okay, toilet paper. Oh, look at
Vorpal Wizard, what are you doing? That greasy pot roast you made is just running right through me.
Looks like you've got a new loofah in here. How's that working out for you?
Oh, we use it all the time.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
Oh, good, good. I love loofahs as well. How's the shampoo? I see that you have the squeezy kind that pumps out at the top. Oh, you're great. Yes. Oh, God damn it. I love asshole Vorpal Wizard. I do that all the time in my normal life, like to my kids and stuff. Like, I'll be picking up their socks or I'll be doing something. And in my head, I'm like, oh, you little asshole. You don't want to put your towel up, huh? You want to leave it on the floor while it's wet? Okay, then. I'll just cast a little Vorpal on you.
There's a teacher you a lesson, you little fucks.
Vorpal socks.
Oh, my God. I love it. How many times do I have to tell you to put the goddamn remote control for the television on the goddamn nightstand by the TV? That's it. You're dead.
Like, I just say, like, around the Vorpal Wizard's house, or, like, if there's a Vorpal Wizard Academy that they have to go to, everything, like, the trees and the buildings and all is just, like, cut off at the top.
Everything is cut off. That's fucking awesome.
All the signs, all the building tops.
All the signs, all the trees. Any pencil, any pen, most of the books. Everything is cut off at the top. That's awesome. Can you think about the poor instructors at Vorpal Academy? Those guys, like, they have to get shit on every day, right? They're like, we got to teach these assholes this Vorpal fucking wizard stuff. So it's like every they have to like constantly be replacing Vorpal teachers because they all die all the time as soon as the students learn it. The kids are like, hey, here comes Mr. Franklin. He's coming in here. Look at that. Hey, I wonder if he's going to need to use that chalk today. You get what I'm saying? Stupid teacher. I wonder if he's going to have to use this today.
Bring the teacher the Vorpal apple.
Hey, Mr. Franklin, how you like that apple there, huh? I bet you need an apple right now.
You didn't just cast Vorpal on this apple and just give it to me, did you?
God damn it.
Come on, guys.
Come on. I'm too old for this. I've been in this game way long enough to know not to eat that goddamn apple, but this banana looks fantastic. Ah, fuck!
Oh, shit.
All right. Welcome to Because Nerd. I really want to talk about Mission Impossible and Tom Cruise because I just watched the new Mission Impossible, so.
Oh, nice.
Because you just made me think of Tom Cruise. Adam Carolla was talking about, it was a football game at Jimmy Kimmel's house, right? So he invites a bunch of people over, you know, but it's basically like guys, you know, football game. All the guys are coming in with cases of beer and bottles of booze and invited Tom Cruise. So Tom Cruise comes over and he brings his mom with him and he came in with a tray of cookies that his mom made. I just thought that was funny.
Okay, if you would have started this with Tom Cruise showed up to a football game with cookies from his mom, I'd be like, that's fucking awesome, dude. Right on. It was the he showed up with his mom part that fucking threw me off. I mean, like, okay, we all know you're weird, Tom, but Jesus.
It's like a certificate of authenticity. You know, you can bring cookies and claim your mom made them. But you bring your mom.
You bring the source.
Yeah. If we run out of cookies, don't worry. I'll just have her make more right now.
They're like, Tom, don't even pretend like your mom made these. He's like, no. My mom's right here. She'll vouch. She made these cookies. And then his mom pulls off a mask. Like, she pulls off the Mission Impossible mask. Ha ha! Vorpal Wizard here. Those cookies look delicious, don't they? Ha ha ha!
So, talking about Tom Cruise and his ridiculously innocent demeanor, I was watching, I think it was Late Night with Seth Meyers, and Seth Rogen was on there as a guest, and he was talking about when he met Tom Cruise. I forget the incident, but it was something about going over to his house. Somehow he mentioned porn on the internet, and he said that Tom Cruise was literally surprised to hear this information. Seth Rogen said in his belief, he thinks that Tom Cruise honestly did not know until that moment that there was porn on the internet.
No, that can't be true.
Man, I hope so.
He shows up to parties with his mom to bring cookies.
Maybe he's an alien.
How much do you know about Scientology?
I do. I know a little bit, maybe.
It sounds like you know more than you should know. Right? The first rule of Scientology is, I don't know what the rules are. I showed up late, but the meeting was really good. I'm going to go tell everyone about it now.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, the reason I wanted to bring up Tom Cruise is because I wanted to, I'll never be able to repeat it in the fashion of Logan and his timing, but we were talking about Mission Impossible. I was like, it's a really good movie. Tom Cruise, for the new Mission Impossible Fallout movie and the prior movies as well, does all of his own stunts. And if you watch Mission Impossible, there's some pretty crazy shit that happens in that movie. And there's like three or four specials that were put out behind the scenes showing Tom Cruise doing all of these stunts. And one of the first ones that I saw was pretty fucking crazy, man. Like, there's a scene in the movie where Tom's running across the building and he goes to jump over a gap. and he hits the wall. And in the scene, he's not supposed to make it. He has to hit the wall, grab the ledge, pull himself up, and continue to run after the bad guy. Well, you can't see it in the movie so much, but in the after, you know, scenes where they show you behind the scenes, when he hits that wall, his fucking ankle snaps in half. You ever seen those videos where like a Muay Thai fighter will kick a guy and his ankle or shin will break and his leg just turns into a noodle?
Yeah.
That's kind of what happens to Tom Cruise's foot. In which case, after that happens, he still pulls himself up and runs after the guy. And so when you watch the movie back, you clearly see that he does this stunt and he's limping like a motherfucker. But you think like, okay, yeah, he just hit his leg on the wall. Of course he's going to limp a little bit. But when you watch the after scenes thing, he really messed his leg up. And so like the whole reason I brought it up is because I'll try to do my best Logan impression. He was like, yeah, you know, Tom Cruise is pretty awesome and all. However, he's kind of like the poorly trained Jackie Chan. Jackie Chan's been doing it his whole life, and he's like very highly trained on doing his own stunts. And like one day, Tom Cruise was just like, fuck it. I'm going to do all my own stunts too. I don't need to be trained on this shit. I'm just going to fucking do it.
I was just going to say that.
He's like, and that's Tom Cruise? Yeah. And I was like, you know, you're right. But crazy thing, like Chris, you'll dig this, man. Like he flies a helicopter in a death spiral all the way to the ground almost, and he's over a body of water. Apparently, it's a super hard move that nobody gets. Well, in the behind-the-scenes thing, they show you that the rigs on the helicopter are all set up looking in at him to prove that he's doing it himself. And in the movie, you see him go, oh, fuck! And that's because he was really fucking doing that shit. And I just thought that was amazing. I was like, I already loved Tom Cruise. I love him even more now. There's another scene where when the helicopters take off, it has some payload hanging from a rope. Well, he has to climb on that rope to the top of the rope while the helicopter is flying off, and he has to get into the helicopter and take the pilot, throw the pilot out, and start flying. Well, as he's climbing to the top, he gets to the helicopter and goes to swing his leg up. He slips and falls. He literally lets go of the rope and fucking falls while the helicopter is flying, and he goes out of frame. And in the behind the scenes, you hear the camera guy go, oh my God, we just lost Tom. Holy shit, he's gone. And at the very bottom, grabs a hold of the net, but like nobody knew he didn't die. Like they thought he fell to his death. Like just, I mean, let that sink in. Like that, dude, that guy has taken acting to an entirely different level, man.
He did his own dance segments in Risky Business too.
No, it wasn't. That was before he was famous. He had a stunt cock for that.
Stunt cock!
Stunt cock! I wonder if Jackie Chan, like, is just sit back going, whatever. Fucking, that's amateur hour. I could do that. I could fly a helicopter.
He's like, fuck that. I'm going to eject out of a fucking F-16 and land into a helicopter and pilot it from there.
Every movie going forward is just now going to be Jackie Chan and Tom Cruise fighting for who can do the better stunts until they both die tragically.
That's just got to be a movie, right? You got to pair them together.
Fuck yeah.
You know, maybe they're buddy cops, yeah. You know, whatever. But throughout the entire movie, it's just them one-upping each other on one crazy-ass stunt to another.
Yeah, exactly. So it'd be like Mission Impossible Rush Hour?
Pretty much.
There we go.
They're going to be like jumping off buildings and crazy hijinks ensue.
The last scene, they're just both in hospital beds laying there in traction.
Oh, hello, Tom. Hello. I see you're right to jump off a bearing, eh? I jump off a bearing too, Tom. The question is how high the bearing got to be, Tom, huh?
So, I think that's the guy from Shitty Walk.
It is. It's not Jackie Chan, no. Hello, yeah. Welcome to Shitty Walk. Fuck you, you fucking Mongolians.
All right, so I was looking the other day about Predator stuff since the new Predator movie came out, so I was just kind of getting myself juiced up and reminding myself about all the Predator lore. So I came across a really good YouTube review talking about the comic book Batman versus Predator.
There's a video on YouTube. I don't know who made it, but it's a fan-made video, and it's like Batman's in an alley, and it's like raining out, and he's fighting with the Joker, and then towards the end of it, he starts fighting what he can't see, and eventually by the end of it, he's fighting the Predator, but it's like really well done. Like the characters look fantastic. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, there's multiple of those. I think it's Bat in the Sun. Hold on. Yeah, so there is Bat in the Sun. They've done a million of these, and they're all fucking awesome. They have Joker versus Negan. It's basically just showdowns, and one of the best ones is Wolverine versus Predator. You've got to watch Wolverine versus Predator. It's awesome, but they're all really high quality, you know, little shorts There's Batman versus Deadpool. Spider-Man versus Darth Maul was really good. Bat in the Sun is the YouTube channel, but they're called Superpowered Beatdowns. I swear to God, man, like after this podcast, if you start watching them, there's like the White Power Ranger versus Scorpion, and they actually got the actor that was the White Power Ranger to be in that. There's Nightwing versus the Winter Soldier, Batman versus Darth Vader.
The White Power Ranger sounds like a really racist superhero.
The White Power Ranger? I never put that together. I just bought a fucking Power Rangers video game with my son. Like, we talk about it. I never thought about the White Power Ranger. Like, what would he look like? What would the White Power Ranger look like when he morphs? Like before he morphs, he's obviously a redneck, you know, no teeth, like super racist dude from like the backwoods. But then when he transforms into Ranger, like, what does his Ranger suit look like?
It's like a normal Ranger suit, but it's got a Klan hood on it.
It's like everybody morphs and they're like, they jump into scene, right? Like you see the scene, then off camera, they all jump in. And they all look like normal Power Rangers. And then he jumps in and he's totally normal, but he's got a white Klan's hood on. And they all stop. They're like, what the fuck?
The fuck, dude?
Dude, what is that? That's not cool, man. What are you doing?
You're representing us right now, man. Fuck.
Like, what the fuck? Zordon's like, hey, guys, look, I'm sorry, guys. Like, I gave him a regular helmet, but he fucking insists on wearing this goddamn hood.
Rita Repulsa's even like, I don't want to be affiliated with this bullshit.
I don't feel comfortable fighting you guys today. I'll just go back to my home planet where there is no racism. And you guys have yourselves a wonderful day.
We just destroy cities with mega monsters and shit like that. I mean, we're not fucking assholes. Goddamn.
I never thought I would say this, Rita Repulsa, but I'm repulsed. This is weird.
Oh, gosh.
Like, you've got the Power Rangers, right? And they're like, Zordon, here comes Rita Repulsa. She's got a new fucking beast. We've got to get out there. And they're like, yes, Power Rangers, but... Little do you know, we have a new ranger that's going to be joining you today. Everybody say hello to the White Power Ranger. And he, like, shows up. He's got overalls, no shirt, no teeth. He's got, like, a fucking cowboy hat. And he's like, hey, what's up, bunch of... Like, he's just horribly, horribly racist.
He just throws out, like, a slur term after slur term. They're a very multi-ethnic group, the Power Rangers.
They are. The Asian Power Rangers, like the Blue Ranger. He's like, hey guys, Rita Repulsa, we've got a flanker from the left. I heard that she's, you know, whatever. And he's like, oh, really? You really think so, huh? Oh, we have to hand her from the left, huh? Oh, you want to do that? Fuck you, buddy. I'm the White Power Ranger. This is America. I flank from the right. Fuck you. God damn it.
What?
Oh, shit. There has been multiple YouTube videos, like SNL skits, I think, of the Power Rangers and how, like, they play on the fact that each ranger, like the Black Ranger's a black guy, the Yellow Ranger's a Chinese guy, the Red Ranger's an Indian. Like, they, I've seen a bunch of videos like that.
Right.
They're kind of like the kids' TV show version of, you know, what's that band? Village People.
How did he get initiated into the Power Rangers?
He was like, what's the quickest way I can infiltrate the American people by getting into a group that they love, but yet spreading my hateful message? And then he joins the Power Rangers.
He's like, Power Rangers? That's already talking my language.
I got it.
He showed up one day thinking it was like a white supremacist group, when really it wasn't. He's like, I'm here for the tryouts for the Power Rangers. I'm the White Power Ranger.
It's like, what the hell is all this other multi-ethnic people doing here?
I thought we were all wearing white. What the fuck are you wearing red and blue for?
They all showed up in their uniforms. Like, he didn't know that they were actually different ethnicities as well.
Right.
And, like, he went through the whole mission and, like, they morph in time and, like, they went out and they kicked some monster's ass. And, like, you know, he's, like, all high on the adrenaline. He's like, this is fucking great. I love this team. Like, he gets back and they all, like, start taking their masks off in the locker room or whatever. And he's like, what the fuck?
Wait, you're a black guy?
Well, this is awkward because I am a vehement racist.
I clearly did not read the fucking special terms and conditions of joining this group. I am sorry. I will remove myself now from this group, and I hate all of you burning hell.
Start my own group.
I will be forming an explicitly white group of Power Rangers.
There already is, sir. There already is a White Power Ranger group in the world right now, which is an injustice.
At least they don't have morphing technology.
Oh, God damn it. Can you imagine if the Ku Klux Klan got morphing technology? We'd all be, well, not we'd all, but a lot of people would be fucked.
Way to rub it in everyone's face. Just we're skirting a weird line as it is already.
All righty then. So back to Predator and who we think would fight him.
White Power Ranger versus Predator.
What?
Okay.
This is America. You don't come to my goddamn fucking earth.
Tired of these fucking illegal aliens coming in here acting like they can hunt all over the lands of our country, hunting our citizens and our metropolises.
I ain't gonna stand for it.
Well, I can't fucking take it. You know what? It's fucking morphin' time, goddammit. It's morphin' time.
He's a militia guy, lives off the radar.
He's like, I'm a fucking Black Power Ranger. You cannot take me into custody. I protect this land from aliens like you.
No driver's license.
No fingerprints and no teeth. Because he's like, that's how they track you. That's how they get you. That's right. You get out of here, you goddamn alien. Fuck you.
See, the White Power Ranger's power worked.
I saved the day with my white power.
You're missing the point.
Oh, Jesus fuck. Christ.
I don't remember how we got into Power Rangers, but I was talking about Batman versus Predator. It was funny listening to the breakdown of the comic, because they were saying how Bruce Wayne was at a party hanging out with a bunch of rich people, and they were being kind of snarky, and they equated everyone there to being criminals. They're like, yeah, these are like all the rich criminal masterminds of the city, and that's how Bruce Wayne gets his information. But they were like, then the bat signal came up and he had to go, and he was like, I'm leaving. I'm not Batman, but I'm leaving.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just goes out and fucking has to fight the Predator for a while.
Yeah, that kind of sucks, right? Because he's like, goddamn Predator, man. Like, I was literally about to break down all crime in Gotham because all the bad guys are right here talking to me. I'm like, I've infiltrated. Now I got to go save the world from this asshole.
One funny part was they fight and the Predator beats the shit out of him. The next scene is Batman completely wrapped up. It's like eyes are showing, I think, maybe, and that's it. That's literally the cliche full body cast. And the guys who were doing the review about it, they were like, well, that's weird. They're like, Batman got his ass handed to him by the Predator, and for some reason, Bruce Wayne is over here in a full body cast. What do you think he was doing? Skiing vacation or something? I don't know. It's just a coincidence. But anyway, so it's funny, in the end, Predator actually only loses because of Alfred. And in a weird twist, it's just because Alfred shoots him with a blunderbuss.
Wow, what a crazy turn of events. Like, bam, blunderbuss to the face.
So anyway, Batman puts on a suit that looks a lot like Shadowhawk's. Even goes and like stands in the same place that Shadowhawk liked to pose in. Batman's still getting his ass handed to him and is going to lose, but then Alfred just fucking comes in and shoots him. And then Bruce gets up and just grabs a wooden bat and beats the shit out of the guy.
He beats the Predator with the wooden bat?
Yeah.
Wow. I kind of dig the fact that, like, this whole comic, they've been going back and forth and just fighting and just going crazy. And at the very end, I just see, like, a fucked up, ripped up costume Batman. And he's just, like, plops down in his chair. And he's like, oh, fuck, man. And, like, the Predator kind of does the same. He's, like, over in the corner, like, bandaging himself up with that squirty shit that he puts on his cuts.
Yeah, he's, like, broken into one of his bathrooms, broke his sink.
Crushed up the porcelain. Because everybody knows you heal a Predator with toilets.
Yeah.
And then as he, you know, he comes back out in the room and you see the Predator like shake off his hands. He's like, all right, motherfucker, let's do this. And Batman just stands up and pulls out the Louisville Slugger and he's like, this is all I got. Fuck it. We're going. Just commences to beat the shit. Then the next panel, the Predator's dead, but he's still like, you stupid motherfucker. He's still like beating it with the bat. Oh, man, that's awesome. I that scene in my head played out great.
It does come across pretty badass.
Yeah, I want to go back and read that book now because it sounds awesome.
So I wanted to see who else you guys thought would be a good fair fight with the Predator.
Tom Cruise.
Yeah, I like that one, actually. Ethan Hunt?
No, actually Tom Cruise.
Just Tom Cruise? He's like, hey, I brought my mom. Please don't murder her.
Flied the Predator over here with my mom's cookies.
Well, wait a minute. So Tom shows up with his mom. Predator's there. You hear the little clicky noise, right? And you don't see the Predator. He's up in a tree, and you can kind of tell he's there in that fashion that he has. And Tom Cruise's mom comes out, and she's like, I've got the cookies. And the Predator's like, oh, shit, those smell good. Like, those are some good cookies.
Want some cookies?
Want some cookies? And then, you know, he comes out. He, like, you know, he unshields himself, and he walks up slowly. He wants those cookies, but he's not going to just rush into it.
Real tentative, yeah.
Yeah. You see his vision go from normal to, like, and then you see, like, the red, you know, like the heat vision, but the cookies are, like, really hot. So he's like, those are fresh. Those are fresh out of the oven. I can tell because the heat is like off the charts. He goes up and he like takes off his mask and you hear like the pss, pss, like he does. And he pulls his mask off and his mouth opens up into that vagina with teeth. He reaches down to grab a cookie and like he goes to eat it. Tom Cruise pops out and insert Tom Cruise thing here.
Tom Cruise just jumps off of a cliff and hangs by a rope. I don't know why it helps, but
for some reason yeah. He just hangs off a rope.
I like the fact that Predator was like kind of like a timid stray feral cat that he had to be kind of coaxed in with the cookies. And yes. He just kind of had to just inch his way up there.
Well, see, that's where people go wrong, man. People think like they got to come at him full force. Like little did they know that Tom's mom had it right. She's like, just bring him in with some cookies and he'll come down and you can murder him.
It's the perfect plan.
It's the perfect plan.
Okay. We've got one person we know who can handle this. It's Tom Cruise's mom.
Well, who'd win in a fight? The T-1000, liquid metal, or Predator?
T-1000,
all the way.
Destroy that thing.
Really? Wow. You guys, I thought you'd think about this a little bit more now. Come on, what hurts the T-1000 is what?
That kill switch.
So he fucks it in the butt, and the Terminator turns off. Everybody knows this.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Have you guys ever thought about what a Predator dick looks like?
More than I want to admit.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I thought about it quite a bit, and I read somewhere that the inside of your mouth is the same skin that's like your butthole too, and your wiener. So,
gotta be true.
It's gotta be true. Does his wiener look like a predator mouth?
Oh, I hope not.
You guys not want to talk about this? I feel like you're uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So much to unpack there.
I'm still picturing that.
So
there was another thing I read about how the predator wears sexy fishnet stockings.
He does. It was just like out for a good time.
Yeah.
It's like he's out to kill in more ways than one.
He's got the looks that kill. Burp, burp. We should bring up the universe's crossing over with Terminator versus Predator.
So is that real?
So it all spawned from a video game, and there's a lot of similarities where they showed like the character that you're playing in the game is basically Dutch. But he's a cyborg, and they basically say, like, why does he look like Dutch from Predator? Well, when Predators attacked Earth, we decided that we needed to make a bionic man to fight them, and we used Dutch as the DNA, and then it goes through it also. Really interesting.
Oh, that's so cool. So they knew that he had had success fighting the one, and so, like, this should have been Predator 2. It would have been a follow-off of Terminator as well.
Right.
And so then you'd see Cyberdyne. They're like, oh, this is a guy who's beat one of these creatures before. We need to make an android of this.
Right.
Let's go confiscate the real doll facility, and start, and we're just going to start building... using this model of a man and we're going to build a defense force against these alien creatures by modifying these sex dolls.
Yeah, perfect. Absolutely. I love it. Perfect. Well, I thought it's kind of weird that they never went that route with creating a cybernetic living organism
with living tissue.
With living tissue. I would have thought like Predator 2 or 3, it would have been cool if they did bring Dutch back and they were like, he's older now, but like he's lost an arm. He's lost a leg, but it's in the future. And some of the tech that they recovered from the fight with other predators, like they take some of that technology and they splice it with Dutch and make him a cyborg. And then he fights the next predator that comes down. So it's, you know, man on man, but he's like a jacked up human.
Oh, yeah. 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 I like the way you described that.
It's man on man and the kill switch is in his butthole.
And there's only one way to stop him.
You better fuck that guy. Did you guys watch that Honest Trailers of Predator?
Oh, man, no.
I've watched it a long time ago.
Oh, man. They put it together that Arnold Schwarzenegger in Predator is actually Kevin McAllister from Home Alone. Because there is a direct side-by-side comparison of like 5 or 6 things that Arnold Schwarzenegger does. Same thing happens in Home Alone. It was so funny how they put it together with Kevin McAllister. And then we've talked about The Purge.
Man, wait, that changes everything though. Like I was seeing adult Kevin McAllister totally different. Now, if I have to imagine that he's Dutch from fucking Predator. Oh, man. That is a Purge episode I want to fucking see.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be
changes
good.
The game, dude. Changes the game.
Hey, did you guys know Van Damme was originally the Predator, except for it wasn't the Predator suit?
Oh, yeah. Did you know that, Mike?
Uh-uh.
I can't remember why he quit or got fired, but in the early test footage, they show the suit that he has to wear, and it's kind of pink or whatever, and it's all wobbly and stupid.
The reason that they put him out is because Van Damme's a little shorty. And
he kept doing the splits everywhere. He's up in the tree, legs spread right. apart. They're like, God damn it, John, knock off the splits.
Come on, man. Look.
The Predator is not going to do the splits.
He's like, it's all I got, guys. This is my one fucking move. That's what I got. I killed Bolo with it. Like, that's all I got, guys. So the new Predator movie has taken me on an emotional journey that I'm not comfortable with, because the first trailer comes out and it looks terrible. It's like there's a kid and he gets a box for some reason. FedEx ships him some Predator weapons.
Yeah, just I read it wrong. My bad.
Yeah, honest mistake with FedEx. Yeah, the Armageddon class weaponry shows up at little Jimmy's house. And so little Jimmy opens it up and starts flying a Predator ship. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on with this new movie? This is going to suck. So then the second trailer comes out. And I'm like, okay, this is more like it. Like, you've got a group of dudes. They all have their specialties. The Predator looks badass. Like, I am sold. Like, now there's a super Predator. Okay, this is great. Then the last trailer came out. And now there's dogs? There's hunting dogs? Okay, I get it. A lot of big game hunters have dogs, so. Why do the dogs have dreadlocks and look like a Predator face? I don't understand it. I don't get it.
Wait a second. Hold on. You're telling me you wouldn't take your dog and just mutate all your dogs to look like you?
No. No, I wouldn't do that.
Not sure I'd do that.
Yeah.
No. If my dog ran in this room right now with a human face on it, I would murder myself and hope that I burn in hell, because that would be the most terrifying thing I've ever seen.
That's what the Predators are thinking too. Some guy in charge of the fucking the biomutation lab over there had a fucking sense of humor. And he none of the Predators wanted the dogs to look like Predators either. That wasn't the thing they were into,
right.
But fucking Carl.
Carl's like, hey guys, get this. With one tweak of this button, I can change the genome a little bit. And this, voila, now it's a Predator dog. But then the other bad part happens, right? And like, the Predator starts to walk out of frame and hawks a loogie. All they were missing was him like grabbing his junk as he spits. The only way this will be acceptable to me is if, like, in the first movie, the Predator imitates when he says, you're one ugly motherfucker, he repeats that. So what I'm hoping is the Predator has been now observing this team of ragtag, social, outcast, military guys that the Predator then copies because he thinks it's, like, cool or, like, whatever. But even at that, like, now I'm like...
it's cool.
Look, have you ever thought about how much of a redneck the Predator must fucking be?
Oh, yeah.
They literally are an intergalactic species that roams around to random planets just to pick fights with people.
Yeah, he's like the white Power Ranger.
Predator's an asshole, man.
He is. He is an asshole.
Hey, you know what? I got to wrap it up here. I got to go run some errands.
Okay, man. All right. Enough Predator talk. We get it.
I was going to ask you guys about Rambo, Bubba Fett, Punisher, John Wick.
I had Ash from Ash vs. Evil Dead, Pinhead. That'd be a good one. Batman, Liquid Terminator, Wolverine, Elsa from Frozen, Kevin McAllister, and Master Chief from Halo.
And also Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson wins, period.
From Taken. I wanted to know how you thought he would use his particular set of skills.
His particular set of skills to track him down? Yeah. That's for another conversation, Chris.
All right, yeah, we'll save that one for later then. We're going to take a quick break so that Mike can go run his errands. But once we come back, we'll then be joined by Logan for another edition of Shitty X-Men.
There are many X-Men in the Marvel Universe, and some of them are bound to be shitty. The one I would like to talk about today is Scott Summers, a.k.a. Cyclops. I grew up with the 90s Cyclops from the comics and cartoon. One of the points I wanted to make is, in the 60s, the eye blast thing is like pants-shittingly awesome.
Yeah.
But in the 90s, you had aliens like the Brood, you had the Shi'ar, you had time-traveling fuckers like Cable and Bishop, and they all had giant fucking energy weapons that had to have like giant backpacks and
yeah.
You know, your whole big as shit Rob Liefeld stuff. So the fact that he could do energy blast didn't seem as cool when like everybody else could. And he's like pew pew pew. Like everyone else on the fucking team has a gun. Knock yourself out. But 90s Cyclops was still pretty cool. You know, he was a dick. but not the kind of dick that he is now. He was the leader, and he would tell people to cut their shit out. He would tell Wolverine, bitch ass, go to your room, get a beer, and look at a picture of my girlfriend for a bit. And Wolverine's like, I'm in love with your girlfriend, by the way. I'm 200 years old, Gene. So overall, Cyclops was pretty cool. I know technically we talked about him in the episode one, but that was part of the entire 60s original X-Men time travel bullshit.
What a way to commemorate the first annual Because Nerd podcast, tie it all together with the X-Men from the 60s coming back that we did in our first issue. That's about perfect, I think.
Well, it was in the script.
There was a script?
So something happened. I won't go really into it, but after 2000 and later, it kind of started to get a little different. He kept getting like a little more edgy, kind of like asshole dickish. And the Phoenix Force came back. It actually involves a Phoenix Buster that Tony Stark has hidden on the moon, which in itself is like the most awesome sentence I've said in a couple of weeks. Phoenix Buster on the fucking moon, just hidden, just in case.
Yeah.
So the Phoenix Force is coming back and Tony's like, guys, I got this. We got to go to the moon. So some adventures, some X-Men go to the moon. Phoenix Force is coming down, hits Phoenix Buster, and splits into five. And it goes into five different X-Men, one of them being Cyclops, and it turns him into raging asshole god. He doesn't need his headgear anymore. He's got like this black mask on with this red X.
Oh, yeah, yeah, like, yeah, Cyclops X.
Cyclops.
Yeah, X version.
And him and everybody else that the Phoenix Force hit turned into raging assholes, go around Earth, making it their own utopia. But really, they're just like pissing everybody off. And eventually the professor's like, Scott, you're fucking pissing everybody off. And Scott's like, yeah, fuck you, blast. And everyone else goes, wow, what a dick. And Cyclops, you know, you're not really welcome here anymore. You're kind of a dick. So Cyclops like leaves. The 60s X-Men come to the present. And then the events that I talked about in the first episode happen.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever read Uncanny X-Force? I know Mike did, right, Mike?
Oh, yeah.
Uncanny X-Force was one of my favorite runs of the past, I don't know, 10 years or whatever. I got into it because it was, at first it sounded kind of cool and I was digging it. It was basically Wolverine, Domino, Psylocke.
Was Phantom X in it?
Oh, Phantom X, who's basically a supercomputer X-23 Archangel, because Angel's a pussy. So basically Cyclops decided he wanted to form a hit squad and basically send this team of bad guys out to murder Apocalypse as a child. He was too much of a pussy to join the team himself. I don't remember why it was like Cyclops who was like, hey guys, I need to form a team and go murder this child. But I always thought like, what a pussy, man. Fucking Scott Summers, you're a mutant too. Do it yourself, dickhead. You know, something else, he triggered Wolverine's PTSD to like, just to be a dick. That's pretty fucked up.
Oh, yeah. Massive dick. Yeah.
Wow, that makes sense.
He first joined the X-Men, and he was still kind of, like, figuring himself out, had PTSD, and Scott, like, threw a drink in his face and was like, stop being a pussy. And apparently it, like, threw his PTSD into rage, and he murdered a bunch of people. So, I mean, I guess it was effective, but real dickish.
Yeah, that's really dickish. That guy's kind of an asshole.
Super, super asshole, man.
How do you think Cyclops becomes the leader? Think of the credentials, right? He basically grew up at a school for special needs kids. But sometime he becomes like a fucking military tacticianist, you know?
Right, right.
So Cyclops in battle, right? He doesn't have any peripheral vision.
Right, of course.
How would he?
Yeah, I never thought about that.
So it's like, you know, Cyclops, the left flank. No, left. He has to put his hand up to his visor, right? To make the shot. So essentially, he's only got one arm to fight with if he actually needs to in a hand-to-hand combat.
He's out there looking like a Secret Service agent.
Yeah, in a mansion where they can build a holographic danger room. They couldn't give him like a button on his hand.
See, that's how I just take it.
Right. I'm wondering what you guys think his power is. Because it's contentious. So it kind of goes back and forth. Like, is it a laser? Is it a punch blast? Like, will it burn you or does it hit you?
It's a concussive blast.
Right. Okay.
But it can be strong enough to appear like it's melting through stuff. But it's supposed to be strictly concussive.
As the name Cyclops suggests. bumping up against stuff, like a determined penis.
It's a determined penis, all right. He is Cyclops.
So, like, there was one time, for instance, Rogue took his powers, and she could modulate them perfectly. She didn't have any problem in little blast, powerful blasts. It could be in whatever amount of intensity she was trying to look for. But Scott can't do it. Scott is constantly on.
He hit his head.
Right. Got a head injury. And it ruined his ability to modulate his power. I also think it ruined his ability to modulate his personality. And I think it's why he's such a fucking asshole all the time. It's like he's got some brain damage. And he's just like turned up to 11 all the time.
And that's why Xavier's like, you know what, Scott? I want you to lead the team.
Right. You're the perfect guy.
You're so stable. His head gear comes off. Ah! Oh, shit. I was going to talk about his abilities, but his headgear constantly fucking comes off. And every time his headgear comes off, everything gets fucked up until he remembers, shit, I need to close my eyes. This is bad. He's fucking blowing up the Sears Tower. Oh, shit, I need to fucking close my eyes.
We gave him a little bit of a ribbing one time when you weren't here, too. We were talking about how it kind of sucks that the stability of your powers is all based on a pair of sunglasses.
Since we're talking about his headgear, Scott's totally, like, looking right at Psylocke's ass. And nobody knows, right? Because he's got the mask on. And he's just, like, all in there, just studying it. Nobody knows where he's looking. But Jean does. You know, she can read minds. She's like, Scott, you fucking asshole. You're looking at Psylocke's ass. So she, like, lifts his headgear, and he, like, blasts her ass. And she gets pissed off, and she calls Cyclops an asshole. And then Jean calls him an asshole. It's pretty funny.
Holy shit, that's a real...
It's canon.
So Jean threatens Psylocke's life with his eye beams just to prove a point.
She's jealous.
It's like Psylocke sat on a fucking watermelon. She's got rectal damage that's permanent now. She can't fucking shit the same anymore.
And since it's Cyclops, you know, after he hit her ass, he had to look around a little bit before he closed his eyes. So he, like, blew up, like, the danger room and the X-Jet. And then he's like, oh, shit, I got to close my eyes. Fuck, I'm freaking out. Got to calm down. Take a breath.
Oh, God damn.
You know, I just got back and I missed that whole thing you guys were talking about, but it does bring up a good point. So many times in the movies and in the comics, somebody, like, moves his glasses and he destroys, like, half of a city block. It's like a half of a millisecond to close your eyes. And for some reason, this jackass can't close his eyes fast enough before blowing the roof off of a school, the X-Mansion, a building, a bunch of fucking people on a bus,
I'm sure all these things have happened.
How many showers do you think he's blown apart? A little soap in his eyes. Boom. There goes that stall.
What else has he blown up with his eyes glass? Post office?
Oh, post office. He was shopping at the grocery store and he's like, huh? Oh, God, I got to sneeze at you. There goes the entire, like, milk section.
And like, you know, he is big enough of an asshole kind of guy that, like, right after he does it, he gets his glasses back on. He's like, everyone's staring and he's like, it's like that when I walked in. I'll just go to.
He tries to make a shitty joke, clean up on aisle three.
He has to send a telepathic message to the professor. He's like, professor, it happened again.
I need you to wipe everybody's memory in the grocery store.
There's got to be a mutant whose superpower is, like, Super Glue Boy. And, like, one day, Professor Xavier was like, come over to the mansion and help me with something. And while Scott's asleep one night, they fucking super glue his mask on him so it never comes off again. And they're like, ah, great, we solved it. My insurance is going to go way down. Like, I see, like, everybody in the mansion always fucking with him. Like, they'll walk by and they'll just, like, you know, some people, like, give you a nut check. They're like, hey, what's up, dick? Nut check. Like, they walk by and they flick his visor off for a second. He's like, God damn it, guys, stop.
Again, no peripheral vision, so pretty easy to get him on those.
Easy to sneak up on him.
That's right.
You just come in from the left or the right and flick his glasses.
Oh, you button hooked me. You button hooked me. I didn't see that one coming.
Good one. I didn't see that one coming.
Hey, guys, leave my glasses alone. Stop it now. Come on. This isn't funny at all.
Come on, guys. Professor X made me your leader.
You got to cut it out.
That's a direct order.
Hey, Beast, get off the ceiling. God damn it, Wolverine, quit hitting on my girlfriend.
The danger room is to be taken very seriously. I need you all to stop fucking in there.
I always thought about that too with Star Trek. I mean, Danger Room, you know, yeah, you can do whatever you want, but Star Trek never pulled any punches. They don't market it as like a training room. The holodeck is literally like a pleasure palace. You know the holodeck is for fucking. So I really feel bad for the guys that got to clean up the jizz in the holodeck, because you're talking Ferengi jizz, you're talking Klingon jizz, Romulan jizz. It's all kinds of some jizz. It's like
extra potent.
Yeah.
See, I don't know. You're talking about Star Trek because that's kind of a utopian future, right? Like,
oh yeah.
No one's job should be cleaning up the jizz in the holodeck, right? Because if that happened, then the whole concept of Star Trek doesn't work.
Yeah, they probably built the technology where it's a self-cleaning.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a replicator. I'm sure you can anti-replicate as well. Like, just take something and atomize it. That's probably where they get the stuff to build the replicator.
Yeah.
They just recycle it into the replicator.
Hey, you know what? That just gave me a thought. You know what dilithium crystals are?
Oh.
So when Scotty's like, the dilithium crystals, I have no more power, Captain. He's like, hold on. Let me go to the holodeck real quick. I'll rub a couple out for you, buddy.
It's going to take more than that.
We need a concerted effort.
Right. All hands on holodeck.
All hands on dick. Holodeck. I meant holodeck. The red light's going on. Oh, yeah. He's in the bridge. He's like, attention, all personnel. Attention, all personnel. Project Dilithium Crystal is low, is in effect. Please meet at the holodeck immediately.
I like the way that the red light comes in. I'm imagining, like, at first it looks like an alarm, like a red light comes and it's flashing. It's like, bow, 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 bow,
bow, bow, bow. All the lights dim. Yeah, Romulan exactly. Ale starts coming out of the walls. Like, oh, have a drink, yeah. Have a drink, have a drink.
Hey, guys. Star Trek 7, The Search for Spunk. So back to Cyclops.
The bro who decided to take his code name from his penis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the professor did.
He was like, calling you Cyclops.
It reminded me, I saw Dan Kibble-Smith tweet that was like, he was naming the X-Men. And he's like, okay, bring that big hairy one in here. I want to call him Beast to his face.
Get that little fairy pansy boy. I'm just going to call him Angel.
What does he do anyway? He just has wings? Just wings.
So, knowing we're going to talk about Cyclops, I was kind of, you know, thinking about, you know, that over-the-top rivalry that he kind of has with Wolverine, or, you know, they're both chasing the same girl. They're both independent thinker, you know, types. So they're constantly butt-in-head and everything. I think there's actually a secret, unrequited type bromantic love that they're both just repressing within each other, and that is where that over the top just
so it never actually was Jean Grey.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
One day they're sitting there and they're like, they get in each other's faces and they're super pumped up and they're like, fuck you, man, she's my girl. And he's like, fuck you, you don't deserve her. And they get closer and closer to each other's faces.
Noses are touching.
Let's take this to the danger room.
Hey, wait, Cyclops, hey, wait for a minute. Hey, you got any duct tape? I want to duct tape those the visor on real quick, man. I don't want to lose my dick. I mean, it'll grow back, but I don't want to lose it.
Yeah, still, I don't want those concussive blasts beating against my balls.
Or maybe I do, man, because I've gotten accustomed to a lot of pain growing up, and maybe that'll make me feel something again.
I heard at the last Olympics, they ran out of condoms because all the Olympiads wouldn't stop fucking each other. I was thinking, that's the same thing going on in the fucking X-Mansion, because they're all like 18 sessions in the danger room, and they're like, toweling off, hey, what a... fuck, and then, well, yeah, we're exquisite specimens.
Danger room time.
And they just fucking, everybody fucks in the danger room. Beast is like, hey, danger room, spin up furry party for me.
Professor Xavier catches wind of it, and he's like, you know what? I've got a serious fucking problem. I've got all the fucking Sentinel robots and everything like that, but the fucking X-Men keep going in there and fucking them and making it all dirty and horrible.
And so, oh, yeah. Imagine, dude. Imagine the debauchery. Guys, I made this room to train to fight Magneto, not to fuck each other.
That is not why I made this room.
Shut up, you old man. We know what this room's best for.
Well, secretly, though, Professor X sits behind the door and telepathically lives vicariously through them. So he really likes it, but he still berates them like they're kids, you know?
I'm picturing Professor Xavier in the danger room talking to a contractor. And he's like, yes, this is where I want the drain. We should have installed a drain in this room before, but it's just, it's out of control and janitorial expenses. And you know what I mean. So I need a big ass drain.
Right in the middle.
Do you know how the danger room works, by the way? Do you know this technology? Because you're going to have to get around a lot of computer shit to get that drain in there.
Oh, no, man. It's cool, man. Don't worry, bro. We got you under control, man. We'll hose all that shit down.
Contractor's like, is this even connected to a sewer or anything? Look, sir, I don't know. I'm Xavier. I don't know that shit.
I just said we needed a drain, goddammit.
Hey, I'm afraid your little sex dungeon danger room here is going to have to get shut down. It's not really up to code. This drain, it just goes straight down into the fucking subfloor, doesn't it? It doesn't drain off to anything, actually. Right.
There's like a swamp, like an underwater, like a well, you know, like under the mansion they didn't know about. And it's been draining into this underwater well for a long time.
It's like a primordial soup of X-Men jizz.
Now there's other mutants down there, like Swamp Thing, that were created from the jizz of the other X-Men. So it's just a mass, like, mole people of jizz X-Men people down there that no one's seen yet. And it's like a huge fight coming.
I think we're onto a great new comic title, you know, the Mutant Jizz Men.
Wait, Mike, did you say that the X-Jet hangar was underneath the danger room?
It was. It is.
And he's like, drain is made, boss. Where does it go? And it just plops all on top of the fucking X-Jet.
No one can figure it out. Every time they get in the X-Jet, they're like, what is this shit on the windshield? Jesus Christ, man.
What the hell is this?
I can't get this shit off.
It's just smearing. The windshield wipers are just smearing it all over the place.
They're running across the platform to jump into the jet, slipping all over jizz and wiping out before they get to the... Xavier hits a slick patch. Wheelchair starts spinning into a 360.
Beast is going, oh, my stars and garters.
smells vaguely of almonds and bleach in that room.
It's all stuck all over the Beast fur.
Do you know how hard it is to get this out?
This is going to take 3 showers.
So, like, on Cyclops' power, where does the power come from? Is it something that, like, he's generating, or there's the portal to a different dimension opens within his eyes and is channeling energy out of them?
It's not quite that cool. It's the sun.
No cave fighting with Cyclops.
What the fuck? What do you mean the sun? Explain the sun angle.
Yeah, supposedly, like, he was channeling solar energy and then able to send it back out.
Was it like a loose take on Superman where, like, he got his powers, but if he was out of the sun for a long time, his eyes would stop working? Because if that was the case, we could really help him just by putting him in a dark room for like a couple days. And then he's like, hey, I'm cured.
I think it was more of a lack of imagination. And they're like, hey, me and my buddy were talking. The Cyclops, where does he get his, I don't know, the sun.
I don't fucking know, guys. Where does Superman get his powers? Fucking sun. It's the sun. Get out of my goddamn room.
I could just say that then.
It's the sun. Just leave me the fuck alone, guys.
Look, everybody gets their powers from the sun. When he's out in the sun, he's a werewolf. What? I don't know. Leave me alone.
And you know what I hate, too, about Cyclops? Like, his brother, and Cyclops' brother is Havoc, right? And I always thought Havoc was cooler than Cyclops. But,
oh, yeah, it's way by far.
But, you know, but they're like, well, they can't hurt each other. Like, their powers cancel it out, whatever. I was like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
So have you guys heard the thing about the portal to a different dimension in his eyes?
No, I didn't know that.
Okay, so, like, they said it in a compendium where they were talking about his powers and they explained it a couple of decades ago. And then everyone kind of forgot about it because if you just read the comics, they never back it up. Nothing ever happens that's like, oh, clearly that was because of the dimensional powers in his eyes. So everyone was so happy it was forgotten. And then, like, around the 2000s, another compendium came out that reiterated it again. Which kind of makes me wonder, because like you said, Havoc, so where does his power come from then? Like, is he somehow just tapped into that same dimension?
It's the sun.
No, when he shoots his powers, he kind of goes like this with his chest. I'm doing the motion with my hands.
Yeah.
It's actually coming out of his dick.
So there's also a third brother that came in later. I forget what his name was. I think his portal's in his asshole. He shoots... He has to like bend over and spread his cheeks to like open up the magic portal and shoot people with it.
He can't He wears like a little band-aid of tape on his butthole to keep the concussive blast from coming out. But every now and then when he has to poop, he's like, God damn it, this is tough. This is a tough one.
Oh, man. When he says he's about to go blow up a toilet, he means it.
He literally means it.
He's Goatsy.
Don't bring him to Wiener Schnitzel.
Oh, shit.
You know, with the portal to another dimension, what if he opened his eyes one day to shoot like a laser blast out and something else from that dimension came out of his face instead of just energy? There's like some terrible, horrible demon creature flying through space in that dimension that's been trying to get to Earth for like millennia. Scott's like, stop, Magneto, I'll shoot you with my eye blast. And then his head explodes and this creature, demon, devil comes out of his face. That'd be fucking awesome.
That would be. Man, what if it's not even the full creature? It's just a tentacle starts coming out of his eye and wrapping around his head and just like.
And then, yeah, and then it like wraps his head up and takes Scott over as like, you know, like a symbiote kind of thing. And then Scott turns like super evil and he has the power of this eternal creature from this other dimension. I would read that.
Now, that would be a way for the comics to back up the portal thing in his eyes.
Right.
Yeah, you show me some shit like that and I'll believe
right,
you now.
Exactly.
So what if there's a Scott Summers in another dimension, but his eye beams open up a portal to somewhere like a pizza. Like pizza cheese just launches out of his eye beam.
It's a red stream like Scott, but it's just marinara flat coming out.
Cyclops, I'm starving. Come here.
He's just like their lackey guy that's like a water boy, but he's a marinara guy.
They're like, Cyclops, come over here real quick. I got some cheese sticks. I need to dip some shit. There it is. There's the sweet, sweet marinara. We need to bottle this shit up and sell it.
Try to eat my cheese sticks. And he comes over and just puts his fingers in his eyes and just oozes marinara sauce. The possibilities are endless.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. The possibilities are pretty endless with Scott Summers having the old portal to another dimension.
Some dimension is just like confetti and rainbows. Like that's all it comes out.
He's like a DJ. Like in that dimension, though, he's a super like EDM DJ, and he's like the coolest Scott Summers in the universe because he throws these massive parties, and he's like, "What's up, guys? It's time for Summer Blast 45," and then he gets up there and he's spinning some dope records while confetti and lasers come out of his eyes.
I got a couple special guests. Brings out Dazzler and Jubilee.
Yeah, exactly.
They're a power trio in like another dimension. They're a power trio and they tour the United States like just jamming. Hey guys, I think we just came up with a good idea. We all dress up like X-Men and we throw killer EDM parties.
No, I got a better idea. 2024. Enter the Cyclops verse. And it's this horrible, horrible cartoon that everyone hates. 0%
There's just tons of Cyclopses with different.
Like the cartoon Cyclops meets up with the EDM Cyclops and they meet up with the Pizza Hut Cyclops. And it's obviously advertising Pizza Hut, but they pull their sponsorship because it's disgusting.
And now instead of Pizza Hut, his shirts, his like name tags is Pizza Shack. They had to change it a little bit.
Okay. Well, so let me wrap it up real quick with saying that, yeah, he blew up Professor X. That was kind of a dick move. People kind of didn't like him after he did that. So last week, a coworker told me, apparently Cyclops is now again the leader of the X-Men. So I throw my hands up. I'm so done with that shit.
So the X-Men is like a girlfriend with bad self-esteem. They just keep taking him back.
The X-Men is so much worse. So he just killed Professor X in cold blood 4 years ago. And they're like, you know what? All is forgiven. Please lead us.
I'm sure he's changed. He hasn't killed anybody in a wheelchair in the past 4 years.
Hey, look, I know he's an asshole, but we can change him. He just needs to be nurtured and cared for.
Hey, guys, I've changed.
Let's go in the fucking danger room.
That's my Scott.
What a scam.
Thank you for listening to Because Nerd. If you liked it, Make sure to subscribe, share, rate, or comment. And check out becausenerd.com for even more cool shit. And if the spirit has truly moved you, you can pledge your support directly to us on Patreon. Because Nerd is a production of Scriptic Media.